everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing the show on this Thursday, April 29th, 2021. You know, the last couple of days, Tom, I could certainly live with those high temperatures in the upper 60s and 70s. Of course, that's not going to last, is it?
No, but what we're having right about now in the next few days is not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. I very much could go with the mid-80s. In fact, it is a lovely April 29th, 2021. In our 11th year right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and the radio is radio station 1030. The call letters are KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we take the KVOI live feed, piggyback with that. That's KVOI.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Before we get to Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, what an ugly scene Tuesday night that played out in Vail, Arizona. The Vail School District had to call in the sheriff's deputies before its public board meeting even got started. Danielle Camara and Clara Magoya write in the Arizona Daily Star that anti-mask protesters outside the building pushed their way past the staff while the board was still meeting behind closed doors. The crowd, according to the Star reporters, was made up of parents and others who had actually no ties to the district or even to Pima County, and they refused to wear masks inside of the building as required. Some protesters were yelling at the staff while pushing past them. A few were even armed. The goal was to get the district to drop its mask mandate. That's when Vail staff called in the sheriff's deputies. Let's go now to the live line. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. What an ugly scene, Dr. Trujillo.
Yeah, that's very disappointing, Bill. First of all, it's great to be back on Bill Buckmaster's show.
Thank you.
But this is a very, very troubling scene. It's always disturbing to see the wheels of local democracy, which I think we all celebrate, take a turn for the disturbing. And I think that's what we saw out at Vail. I don't think anybody opposes the public's right to express concerns either way about mask policy. But there's a way that you do that. You don't storm the governing board offices of five duly elected officials and exercise your right in that fashion. So I'm very, very kind of disappointed that played out that way. And hopefully the Vail administration and community will take the appropriate steps to make sure that future governing board meetings are facilitated peacefully.
Well, Vail's part of Pima County, as you know, and Pima County has a mask mandate in place, despite Governor Ducey making masks in school optional on April 19th. So from what I understand, don't most district schools or schools in Pima County are going by still wearing masks?
Absolutely. You're right, Bill. We don't have a choice in the matter. I'll state very clearly that even without a Pima County mandate, the governor's executive order leaves it to individual school districts to determine whether or not they're going to have a mask mandate inside of their jurisdiction, which is their respective school districts. I would still have a mask mandate here in Tucson Unified. I would still make that recommendation to the governing board. I'm not in that territory, nor is any other Southern Arizona superintendent, because as you said, Bill, we're still under the auspices jurisdiction of Pima County Board of Supervisors mask mandate, which is in full effect. The statewide lifting of any such mask mandates doesn't occur until 90 days after the legislature adjourns, and we're still quite a ways away from that. So we don't have a choice in the matter. We do have to continue on with masks in the school district.
Let's go to Carl, who has a comment about this. I would like to weigh in with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, Tucson Unified Superintendent. Carl, what's on your mind concerning this issue?
Well, TUSD's hands are not clean in this particular issue. I'm not talking about masks. I'm talking about mass demonstrations within at the school board meetings. If you remember, several years ago, they had a bunch of students that came in and chained themselves to the desk and so forth, protesting the Mexican American studies, and they were led by Grijalva. And so, you know, this kind of thing has gone on in the past.
Okay. Dr. Trujillo, I don't recall what your role, you were not at the district at that time, or what? What was the history there?
Wow, that's a throwback. That's all the way back to 2010.
Were you there?
That was a good 6 years before I even arrived.
I thought so, but right. I didn't. I wanted to get the chronology right here, so I recall you were up at Phoenix, up at Phoenix Union, correct, at that time?
Yeah, I probably was in my second year as principal there in Phoenix Union. But hey, you know, good observation, and I can only take responsibility for my administration, which started in the spring of 17, and we have not had anything resembling what transpired either in Vail Tuesday night or more than a decade ago in TUSD. I think the parties that assembled peacefully to express their concerns about family life curriculum was probably the closest that we came, but that was largely peaceful and really didn't feature the kind of disruption or the level of disruption that was seen in Vail on Tuesday night.
Yeah, these people are serving. I assume they don't get a salary on the school board at Vail, and so they're giving up their time. And if they have to come to an atmosphere that's not safe, that is not right.
Absolutely.
All right. Dr. Trujillo, it sounds like you're very close to the station. I know you were coming in. We're going to have you in for the second portion of your interview. So we're going to take the break actually right now, Tom, and then we'll come back with Dr. Trujillo with us in studio. But right now it's time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. And if Dr. Trujillo was with me in studio, which he now is, he just arrived. He would second my motion about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. I always like to give Tom Fairbanks credit for this little slogan that he came up about the Danish Kringle, the Scandinavian pastry that it's often oval-shaped, kind of like a pretzel. But Tom calls it light and tasty multi-layered pastry, and that's very accurate. So stop by Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery. They're open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 for breakfast. They got a great breakfast. All the breads that they make every day. So they got a wide variety of pastries and breads. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. You can order ahead on the website for your pastries, or just stop in and order and then dine inside or out on the patio. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Dr. Trujillo was on our live line, which is courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Now he's with me in studio, and we'll be back with him right after the break.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. Bring that music up a little. What do we have, flamenco music there, Tom? That's not the usual bump for the Buckmaster Show, but I'll take something a little bit different today. No problem. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and we welcome now to the studio Gabriel Trujillo, Dr. Trujillo, Superintendent of Tucson Unified. First of all, how about a little good news? Tucson schools earned top marks, and at the top of the list of the U.S. News and World Report's 2021 rankings, there's actually a public school that made the list, and not only from made the list, but number 17 in the United States, and that is Tucson Unified's University High. Pretty good, huh?
Absolutely. One of the crown jewels of the Tucson Unified School District. We're extremely proud of the students and staff and the parents in that community. And this ranking is just a testament to their commitment and their excellence. And so we're so proud of them, and we'll continue to support them and celebrate them.
Yeah, and other schools from Tucson in the top 50 basis. Oro Valley was number 23, and basis Tucson North at number 47. So those who say, well, you can't get a good education at Tucson Unified, you can't get a good education at a public school, well, there you go, folks.
There you go.
A highly ranked Tucson Unified University High School. All right. Before we get to the DSEG situation, let's talk a little bit about the last time you were on the show. You were talking about the situation financially looks very favorable for Tucson Unified. Then they see a headline in the paper in the Star saying that TUSD is cutting over 60 teachers. What's the deal here?
So we've addressed this publicly at our last governing board meeting, and we spent a lot of time on it. And I'll just say what I've already said publicly. We value the Star's relationship with us. We respect the Star respect Danielle as a journalist. And in fact, I relied on Danielle's reporting just overnight to find out what happened at Vail. So she does a great job of informing the public. However, we disagree from time to time, and this is an area where we disagree. So the nature of the disagreement is over the temporary probationary teacher contracts that last anywhere from 11 days to one semester to two semesters of work that simply expire at the end of the school year. And at the heart of the disagreement is whether or not the expiration of a temporary work agreement for a teacher constitutes a cut. TUSD's stance is it does not constitute a cut because it has no implications on the budget for the upcoming year. The STAR's stance on it is a cut because it's a teacher work agreement that no longer exists. We're just not going to get anywhere. We have clearly stated our case that a temporary assignment has a definite starting date and it has an ending date. The money for that assignment is not built into the budget for the following year. It's not a cut. It's not a reduction in force. Secondly, teachers that are in their first, second, and third year of service in the state of Arizona, they are designated by statute as probationary, essentially temporary employees that have no rights to continuing employment or contract rollover. So a principal can recommend that they just simply not continue. They're not entitled to a professional improvement plan or an evaluation. So we have some of those that are included in the in this list. We also have temporary teachers that are moving out of state, moving out of Pima County, have departed. So that's where we're disagreeing with a STAR. And we're just going to, at this point, mutually agree to disagree.
Okay.
I maintain that we have cut no teaching positions. We have not executed a reduction in force on any segment of our workforce, nor will we. And that's where it stands at this moment.
Districts across the state have lost enrollment. Is this tied? I have Danielle's story in front of me, and she points out that TUSD, which is the third largest school district in the state, serving 42,000 young people, has seen a 7.4% enrollment decline from last year. It's about, 3,350 students. So is that in any way tied, the enrollment decline, with this teacher issue?
In the sense that in the 2021 school year, a particular school had a need for classroom coverage at a particular grade level or position, which necessitated these work agreements, these temporary work agreements. If a school's enrollment projection for 21-22 did not come back reflecting that same need, then the work agreement expires. There's no longer a need for it. That to me is not a cut. A cut is when you take a veteran teacher with continuing teacher rights that are vested and have benefits and have contractual rollover and continued employment, and you serve them with a reduction in force and send them home. Now, I want to take responsibility here publicly for not thoroughly explaining that difference out to the STAR at the beginning of this whole inquiry, which I think in large part drove the STAR to categorize positional expirations on temporary probationary contracts as an actual cut.
Let's talk about really a landmark news story when it comes to Tucson Unified, and that's after 40 years, actually more than 40 years, Tucson Unified is being released from the court oversight for its decades-long desegregation case that was put in place to eliminate the vestiges of past discrimination. This is a big deal, isn't it?
It's a huge deal, Bill. It's a landmark event in the history, not only of this case, but this district. And it's its validation. It's validation publicly to all of those who have over the past questioned our commitment to equity and diversity and desegregation who've questioned our ability to manage in a responsible way the funds that we levy from the public in DSEG. It's validation to those who have accused us of just sort of kicking back and soaking up the $63 million year after year was showing no results. We now have a 63-page court order that lauds the district in a variety of areas, from integration to exposing children of color to advanced learning experiences, to transportation, to staff diversity, that nobody can dispute anymore. And that to me is just such a tremendous sense of gratification that is not as important for me personally. It's more for the 8,000 employees that serve us. So I just think it's just such a tremendous victory for this district and a bittersweet moment for those employees who have lived their lives professionally as our employees, as parents, and as students under the 40 years of this order, like a certain board member that we have, who her entire academic career, whether it was at Wakefield or at Pueblo, then as a parent with three kids coming to our schools, and now as a 20-year board member, her entire board member tenure, entire tenure as a TUSD parent, entire tenure as a student, governed by this order, and she's not the only one. There are hundreds of our employees that this celebration belongs to that have been in that same circumstance.
And you're referring to Adelita Grijalva, who's been a member of the TUSD Governing Board for 19 years. She's a member of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. She will be my guest on the live line at 12:35 today. And I have in front of me her op-ed that was in the Star either yesterday or the day before. I'm not quite sure. I don't remember. But it says in the op-ed that the Governing Board, there's been like, what, 9 superintendents, especially over the last 8 years. There's been a lot of superintendents over this 40-year period that have had to deal with this cloud over the district's head, the cloud being the DSEG case.
Absolutely. And it's never, I don't think anybody has ever been opposed, and I am not opposed, to the principles of the Unitary Status Plan. The contents of it. Who's going to argue with integration, equity and opportunity for students, increased transportation routes for students that's a barrier? But what's been really, really difficult are the constraints, the procedural constraints that don't allow you to move as quickly or be as innovative or creative or groundbreaking in the area of open enrollment. When you're competing with 96 private and charter schools in your 224 square mile district, you need to be able to be nimble and quick and innovative and change structures and be creative at the drop of the hat. And every time you want to change a form, you need federal court approval. You will continue to be eaten alive by the smaller, more creative, more innovative charters and privates. I've always said, if you want TUSD to truly compete in an open playing field in this open enrollment market, get the chains of the federal court off of us and watch us go. And I'm excited now that that's about to happen.
Money-wise, what does this mean for the district? Does the district lose money every year or what?
Well, what we're looking at right...
Lose money every year that would be tied to this case.
Well, what we're looking at right now is for the 21-22 school year, we have to levy the same $63 million for the 21-22 school year, because the judge's ruling came out at a time when the desegregation budget has pretty much already been finalized. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what we're going to target in 22-23 is this section of the component of the $63 million that we're levying that's going for legal fees and that's going for excessive administrative costs, and either figure out a way how to start gradually downshifting the levy or rerouting the monies back into the schools. So I think the 21-22 school year is going to give us an opportunity to examine how we do that for 22-23.
And to the Facebook friend who just sent me a message, listening to a show on the phone on the west side of Phoenix, and saying our signal is clear as a bell in the Phoenix area, your old stomping ground, Dr. Trujillo.
My
hometown.
So
people can listen up in as far as Phoenix. So I've got a pretty good signal here at 10:30, The Voice. So as far as the taxpayers, this will be a savings eventually to them?
It's going to be a savings, yes. In the coming years, we are looking forward to doing all we can to reduce the levy, especially in the areas of administrative costs and legal fees, and really focus on any monies being levied going into schools for very specific programs for students.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, we will let you go. We have Adelita Grijalva already lined up on the live line. She's ready to go after we take the mid-show break. So this is a very, very important deal. The desegregation case is over. We'll talk a little school issues, plus a lot of Pima County issues in her dual role. Adelita Grijalva will be next on the program. Thank you very much, Dr. Trujillo. We will see you for your next visit. I think we got you down in June, so thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, and that'll be a great opportunity to talk enrollment.
There you go. We'll see how that is going. Buckmaster Show, Midweek Point, tomorrow, Laura Conover, Pima County Attorney, with me in studio. I'll go one-on-one with Laura, and then we'll have Luigi Del Puerto with a legislative update from the Arizona Capital Times. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This Thursday afternoon, we're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Thank you, Green Things. They do such a great job. They're in their 51st year, open daily, 3384 East River Road. Not only can you pick up some amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more, it's a beautiful 13-acre site when you go over there. And when you're there buying your plants, stop by Zocalo Village. It's five freestanding buildings made up, and the merchandise inside the buildings is fabulous. Some of that handmade furniture, the beautiful mesquite tables. If you're looking for a dining room table, there's some beautiful tables. Some of them are made right here in Tucson, so it's worth checking out ZocaloVillage.com and GreenThingsAZ.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Adelita Grijalva has been a member of the TUSD Governing Board for 19 years, also a member of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Democrat, representing District Number 5. Adelita, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. You were able to hear a little bit of our segment before the break with Dr. Trujillo outlining how exciting it is that the DSEG case is over, and I referred to your op-ed that was in the Star a day or so ago about TUSD now really has some room to move forward without the constraints of the court. This is a huge deal, isn't it?
It is. It is. I know I was able to hear a little bit of what Dr. Trujillo talked about in really just allowing for the five elected members with the superintendent and administration to make the decisions that they're elected to do without seeking court oversight and delaying some of the decisions that we'd like to make in regards to TUSD specifically. But I do agree that, you know, a lot of the changes that happened because of the DSEG order were important and necessary for TUSD to look at ensuring that our children of color have access and equity in our district.
Dr. Trujillo pointed out that Judge Burry, David C. Burry, the federal judge, had some very complimentary things to say about the district in releasing the district from the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, it's really helpful for someone with his background and expertise to acknowledge that the district has made some real significant changes, and it is not our desire to roll back any of those really important programs like magnet programs and teacher mentors. I mean, that's just a small example of what we're doing, ensuring that our facilities, regardless of what side of town you're on, have, are at the same standard. What we have hopefully been able to do is eliminate the vestiges of any dual school system. And now we just need the state support to ensure that our facilities are up to the standard that some of the newer districts have in our state.
I want to switch over to your role as Pima County Supervisor. This migrant facility is now set to open next week. It's a new facility to temporarily house migrant children and teenagers. This is a 80,000 square foot facility, includes numerous rooms. They're connected while under kind of white tents, I guess. Have you been over there to see this?
I have not. I actually didn't know that they were sort of doing this preview until I received a call from one of our local news affiliates. So I was able to look online. There was like a Facebook Live link where people are, you know, kind of cameras are showing what's going on there. And it doesn't look drastically different from what the facility that I walked through with children in it looked like in 2019. That was closer to the Nogales border.
Did they not invite the members of the board? I think that might be a little bit of an oversight. You'd think they would have invited you to tour it.
And they didn't. And I think that there was it was a really quick turnaround from what the impression that I got. But no, we weren't contacted to go by. And I do have some concerns about, you know, the fact that I think we can do better. It looks very institutional, very sterile. And I think we just need to remember that these are children.
The Casas Elitas Welcoming Center in Tucson has been doing a great job. It's run by Catholic Community Services. And we were talking with our Friday interview is with Reverend Robin Hoover, who you know very well, the founder of Humane Borders. And he says that we need to rely more on the non-governmental operators like Casas Elitas, who really do a great job. Some of your thoughts.
No, I agree. I actually, when I was interviewed, said I wish that they would look to our nonprofit partners, not only here in Southern Arizona, but examples across the nation of how they've been able to do it better and get some tips, best practices, or maybe open up these contracts so some of these smaller nonprofits are able to act, you know, to apply to be able to serve their community in this way. So Casas Elitas is actually unable to serve unaccompanied minors based on their, you know, contracted agreement. So they can accept families, but not unaccompanied minors.
Let's talk a little bit about the rollout of the vaccine. It seems like we've reached a vaccine wall or this hesitancy. There is the vaccine available now, but there's still a group of people who, for whatever reason, are reluctant to take it. I understand now that some of our sites will be allowing walk-ins.
Most of them are. So all of the pop-up sites are allowing walk-ins, and actually all of the state, the U of A, Keno, all of them also have a walk-up capacity. So you won't have to schedule an appointment online. I do think that that has been some of the roadblocks that we've had to overcome because, you know, some people don't have the access or the know-how or quite honestly the patience that it takes to get through that process. And so to be able to just walk up and register online, I was able to tour the Keno on the side near One Stop where they're having the vaccine set up. It used to be for for COVID testing. That facility, what I was told, is from the door to, you know, getting your shot, if you have to register, is 11 minutes. So Pima County Health Department and all of our community partners are doing everything they can to make this process as easy as possible.
And I have in front of me, Adelita, a news release. Pima County will be partnering with the Federal Emergency Management Administration to bring a series of mobile vaccination units to increase the vaccine access and availability. So this is going to really help. FEMA is requiring, a day to tear down the units before they move on to the next location. But in front of me here, it looks like this is quite an extensive area that's going to be served between May 3rd and May 17th, including the racetrack, the Greyhound, the old Greyhound Park, Casino del Sol, the Desert Diamond Casino. Yeah. So the outreach is really starting to pick up.
It is. And then, you know, what those mobile vaccination units are going to be able to do is handle a minimum of 750 doses a day. So it's really going to increase the capacity and access. The other thing is that, you know, people coming up to the site will have the option of Moderna or Johnson & Johnson. So we may, for those who opt for Johnson & Johnson, because the CDC has lifted the sort of pause on that, that once we're able to do that, we could fully vaccinate many more of our community members that perhaps have been unable to get the vaccine because of their work schedules, or the fact that, you know, when they talk to friends who are kind of, after they get a dose of the vaccine, or kind of, you know, have flu-like symptoms or something for a couple of days after, that idea of that kind of downtime is really restrictive for some people. The other thing I like is a lot of our vaccine locations are opening later. And so they're, you know, for example, Antigone Books has a pop-up site happening from 4 to 8 p.m. The Keno South location is open till 7 p.m. And so I think we're trying to really accommodate people that, you know, are on their way home, maybe have some other responsibilities, and trying to make it as accessible as possible. I agree that here we've served the people that were first in line and were really eager. And now these are people that we either need to eliminate barriers for them to get the vaccine, or really just try to talk to them about why are you resistant to get it, and what information can we provide? I think at this point it really is providing education and information about the vaccine.
And I think it's worth repeating what was brought up in our interview yesterday with the former Arizona Department of Health Director, Will Humble. His big push, and he's been sending emails to his former boss, Governor Ducey, and his former assistant, Dr. Crist. And it's very simple. It's let's get the vaccine into doctors' offices here in Pima County, because according to Mr. Humble, and I agree with him on this, when people go to the doctor and they're having a physical or whatever, the doctor will usually bring up, well, how are you on your vaccinations? Have you had your tetanus shot? Have you had that? And they'll say, well, whatever. But then the doctor will say, well, what about how about COVID? Well, I haven't had it. Well, we can give it to you right here. We can seal the deal right in the office. I think that's a great way to go.
I do too. I think some of it was the requirement for the kind of freezers that Pfizer needed. Mm-hmm. I think Moderna is a little more accommodating, and Johnson & Johnson is absolutely. So I do think it has to do with relationships that you've built. And people are more likely to trust their doctor than they are, you know, some person that tells them they should get the vaccine. So I totally agree with the idea that we need to allow doctors to have more access to it. And now that we have more vaccine available, this would be a good time to do that.
All right, let's pause right here. Adelita Grijalva, Pima County Supervisor, TUSD board member, will stick around. We'll have about 10 minutes with her after the break. Want to talk a little bit about water. Some folks have referred to it as a water war between the county and the city, but we'll talk with Adelita Grijalva about that on the Buckmaster Show as we continue on this Thursday afternoon.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A program note reminder, tomorrow, Pima County Attorney Laura Conover will be with me. We'll go one-on-one with Laura on our Friday Focus interview. And then we will have Luigi Del Puerto, who is the editor of the Arizona Capital Times. A lot to catch up with Luigi about this legislative session, where we are, how long it may go on. Some are saying well into June before they adjourn up in Phoenix. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You know, this time of year when Tucson starts to push 100 degrees, which is going to happen, perhaps this weekend. Not perhaps, it will be close to 100 this weekend. It's nice to think about Silver City, where right now it's 58 degrees during the noon hour. And the reason it's 58 degrees and not like 10 to 15 degrees at least hotter is because Silver City has an elevation of 5,500 feet. And the area goes up to about 7,000 feet, so it's going to be cooler over there, and all of that means 3 hours east of Tucson, you're going to have a great experience over in Silver City. You can start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for more information. Let's go now back on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, District 5, Pima County Supervisor Adelita Grijalva. Adelita, what was your decision to oppose that vote that was taken April 6th? The Board of Supervisors voted 3-2. You and Supervisor Matt Hines voting in the minority to pass a resolution expressing opposition to a Tucson Water proposal to charge differing service rates for customers outside of the Tucson city limits. Some of your thoughts.
Yeah, I voted against that because, one, it was more in an advisory capacity, letting the city know what the county thought, but ultimately it's the city's decision and mayor and council's decision. Two is that right now, the city, people that live within the city are really subsidizing getting water out to our outlying areas. And so many other cities, including Flagstaff and Phoenix and other cities in Arizona, do have differentiated water rates for those that live outside of the cities, and it would affect me too, that any increase would affect me. But the other nice thing about it is that right now the city of Tucson only offers reduced rates because of low income to those that live within the city. And so this would actually, if anyone is concerned about whether they would be able to afford any kind of increase, they would actually be able to access that low income program. And so their water rates may actually be lower than they are now.
So the motivation to try to encourage, well, we don't really know what the specific motivation is, but some have said it's to encourage the unincorporated areas to perhaps join the city. Some of your thoughts on that?
Well, not only that, but it really is to, my thought is to discourage sort of the sprawl outside of like the core of our town. And so, you know, we are facing a pretty significant drought. We've heard about the Colorado River and how it continues to decrease, and that there are other cities that are already putting in mitigation strategies to reduce water use. We're not quite there yet in Arizona, but I do believe it's on the horizon. I mean, we're getting very clear concerns from people who are monitoring, you know, the decrease in access to water. So the fact that we're trying to keep access a little closer, not have to go out to areas, all of that makes a lot of sense to me.
Do you like the idea of the occasional joint meeting with the city of Tucson and the Pima County Board of Supervisors?
I actually was hoping that would be something that happens every quarter. Mm-hmm. It hasn't yet, but you know, it was I requested the joint meeting, and it was the first time that in anyone's, you know, recollection that we were able to have as much of a face-to-face, a Zoom meeting face-to-face
yeah.
with the city and the county. I do think that it was productive. And I also think that it's really important for both the city and county to work more collaboratively together. We serve a lot of the same constituents. We have offices that are very similar, both in the city and the county. You know, we have natural resources and parks in the county, and then we have you know, parks and recreation in the city. Those programs, you know, we should collaborate, because a lot of those services are utilized by both city and county residents.
You will be having your first budget hearings, which will be coming up. The budget is right around the corner. I think that starts up in May. This is going to be an interesting budget year after COVID. This ought to be, I guess a lot of it will still be done virtually with Zoom, or will there be some in person?
No, I think we're continuing to have Zoom meetings in the county. And I actually think that it is a lot easier for people to access, especially large departments. You can have, you know, three or four people from a department that are all together. I know that in person, indoors, we still have a lot of restrictions. And so this keeps everyone a lot safer. One other thing I just wanted to mention as I was thinking about it, unlike other utilities, water is by weight. And so each gallon weighs a certain amount, and each person uses X number of gallons a day. And so it does cost more to get water out to these more outlying areas than it does if you are within the Tucson. Like, water pressure is a lot easier here. And they're also, we lose water every, you know, X number of feet that we go out. So I just think that it's important for us to think about some of that as well.
We have Laura Conover, the Pima County attorney, with me in studio tomorrow. Do you think she's done a good job in her first 100 days?
I do think she's done a very good job. I think that she's really has a lot to unpack in her office. I think a lot of us that are walking into offices, but especially Laura, because her predecessor was there for so long, it's, you know, once you're part of a certain system, it's difficult to kind of reimagine what it would look like.
Yeah, the whole culture of an organization.
Right,
yeah.
The whole culture of the organization, not only that, but kind of, you know, moving towards digital. That's something that, you know, TUSD has had to do, the county is doing, where we're getting away from paper. Well, she's walking in to an office that has literally an entire floor that has paper documents have to be, you know, scanned in and you know, so we can utilize space better. So there is a lot of restructuring, and a lot of what she brings to the office, having, you know, both an outside and inside perspective, I think has been really beneficial.
Annalita Grijalva, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. Dave Ramsey's next.